Blog Talk Radio.
I was walking downtown one day, and I saw a man who appeared to be just an old wino sitting on the street telling the people about Jesus as they passed by. And because he was all raggedy and dirty, people would just laugh and make fun of the old man and walk on by. And he said, because of the way I am, no money, no fancy clothes, cars, a lot of people consider me as nothing and say I don't know what I'm talking about. But there's one thing that he said that really touched my heart and stayed on my mind. When that old man looked up and said, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. He said, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. And he said, I've had so many problems in my life that I just couldn't deal with. So I started drinking, thought it would help ease my pain. But things got worse, so I said, Lord, I give up. I'm in your hands. And that's when my life began to change. But these people think I'm just a nobody.
When was the day they released no video? They released no evidence. They released nothing. Nothing. I'm tired of how black men being killed. They done put some respect on that damn name. Before there had been the evidence, you ever said the right way?
Yeah.
What I say right now?
Yeah.
I don't want to hear you things the right way.
Amen.
You are not going to call police up. You are not going to
I'm a young black man. I'm a young
11 times he repeated, "I can't breathe." But the disconcerted officers, they paid no attention to his cries. The man was trying to only breathe.
Of the Lord, I've been
free, delivered,
and in your presence, Lord.
Trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, you know my favorite scripture is Proverbs 4:22. "For my son, attend to my words. Incline thy ears that I say, let them not depart from thy eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart, for they are life unto those that find them and health to all thy flesh." Again, I'd like to welcome to the Spirit of a Soldier. You know, I said last week that I was going to start to open up right off the top with a prayer of salvation. I know that there are probably many online who already say born again and spirit filled. But for those who are not, I think since this is the most key and most important part of our walk is to get those who do not know Christ into the family, I like to start off with prayer and go right into the message. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner, saved by grace, Father God, but I come to you right now to ask for forgiveness of my sins. And I thank you, God, for dying on the cross. I want to receive you into my heart, and I ask you, Father God, to become my personal Lord and Savior. Now, Father God, I humbly ask you to help me to live the rest of my life serving you. And I thank you, Lord, for hearing my prayer, listening to my prayer, and answering my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. For those who have said that prayer or just at least just took a moment to meditate on it, and maybe you'll say it a little later this evening, well, praise God, I'd like to welcome you to the family. So let us go into a more in-depth prayer. Heavenly Father, we just glorify and magnify your name for your love, your mercy, and your grace, and forgiveness of our sins, past, present, and future. Father God, we thank you that only you can give us this breath and strength that carries us through the day. When we rise up, Father God, you give us another opportunity to serve you, to worship you, to glorify you, to magnify you, to praise you, to say thank you, Father God, for your loving grace and kindness. Thank you, Father God, for your forgiveness. Thank you, Father God, for continuing to show us every day that you love us. You loved us so much that you would send your only begotten Son to die upon the cross for our sins and to put us back in right standing with you. For we were lost, but now we are found. And we praise you, Father God, for you willing to send out and go for the one sheep, Father God, the one sheep. Each one of us was one of those one sheep, Father God, at some point in our lives. And we want to thank you. But now as we go forward, Father God, there are many, Father God, in the world, the countries, the states, the cities, the communities, the neighborhoods, the family, and every individual who needs you, Father God, who needs you in their life. Whether they need you, Father God, in their relationships, whether they need you, Father God, a relationship with you, whether they need you, Father God, in their bodies, for they need healing upon their body. Those 39 stripes that Jesus took upon his body when he was on the cross, Father God, is the healing power that is needed for them, Father God, to be healed. I thank you. And for any affliction, your word tells us, that has come upon them, it shall leave and not return a second time. For it is a part of your benefits as we bless you with all our heart and soul, Father God. We cannot forget these benefits. You've forgiven us of our inequities, Father God, redeeming us of our own self-destruction, healing thy diseases, crowning us with your loving, kind, and tender mercy, and satisfying our mouth with good things so our youth is renewed like the eagle. Oh, we're being renewed, Father God. We're being renewed because you have created us a clean heart and renewing the right spirit in us so that we may live and declare the works of you. I thank you, Father God. Touch everyone's life. Let them recognize, Father God, there's nothing that is possible without you. So, Father God, I claim those possibilities of your power, your love, your grace to change lives, Father God, to change lives in a way that they can receive the abundance that you promised. For you are the way, the truth, and the life. And, Father God, as I get ready to speak, I ask you, Father, let me decrease the man, the shell, the host, and let the Holy Spirit rise up big in me, Father God, like never before, that as I speak, your words will carry the dunamis power that will influence people's lives in a way, Father God, that all they can do is raise their hands up and say, hallelujah, 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 in Jesus' name, amen, amen. Well, I'm just excited again to be back here. Every time I get this opportunity to be able to come forward and share the knowledge and wisdom of God's word as he imparted upon me, it is a blessing. It is a blessing. It is a blessing. In some countries, you can't do this. In some countries, we're not allowed to be able to share the good news of God. But here, God has blessed us. I like to call it the promised land because everybody tries to come here to receive the promises of America. And it seems that many are doing well in it. So I'm excited for this golden opportunity, as he said, that we may live and declare the works of God. So today's quote is, everyone sees your fault. God sees our possibility. God sees you, what you can't see in yourself. God designed of you wasn't poor craftsmanship, but a masterpiece that will shine through. And look beyond the mirror, and you will see the person God intended you to be. And when you know your worth, no one can make you feel worthless. And believing you can is you are already halfway there. Hallelujah. But the scripture tells us, as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. Everything starts with the heart. And that's out of Proverbs 2:37. And Romans 12:2 tells us, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God and what is good and acceptable and perfect. And perfect. And 1 Corinthians 12:27 says, no, now you are the body of Christ, individually a member of it. You are now a member of the body of Christ. And Romans 8:17 tells us, if children, they're heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified in him. These words are powerful because we're now joint heirs with Christ. And we can now be glorified with him. When God looks upon us, he looks upon Jesus. He sees Jesus in us. Hallelujah. And John 15:15 tells us, no longer do I call you servant, for the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I call you friend. Remember he said in the scripture, no greater thing than a man do than to lay down his life for a friend. Jesus laid down his life for us. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Now imagine you go over your friend's house, and everything that's going on in their house, the father, the friend is now able to tell you what his father told him. That's up. In 1 Corinthians 6:19-20 saying, or do you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were brought with a price. So glorify God in your body. And I understand there are a lot of things when they tell it, they say the scripture here, and people go and do a message on. But the main thing that I love about it is that we should strive to glorify God in this body. Move to, as Michael was saying this song, make that change. Start with the man in the mirror. Hallelujah. So I want to tell you a story. I said I have to tell you two stories. And it's about being your best self. So one day the king came to the garden, and he saw withering and dying trees and bushes and flowers. And oak said, it's dying because it can't be as high as the pine. And the pine tree was falling down because it could not give grapes like the grapevine. And meanwhile, the grapevine was couldn't blossom like the rose. But soon the king found a single plant, pleasing heart, blooming and fresh. The king asked, all the trees and the flowers here are wilting, and you are flourishing. Why? I think it comes naturally. You have planted me because it was your wish and you chose. And your choice, I'm sorry. And if you would like to grow an oak, grape, or rose, you would have planted them. And I cannot be anything else than what I am. So I'm trying to develop my best quality. Trying to develop my best quality. Not Bob's best quality, not President Obama's best quality, not Michelle Obama's best, my best quality. God designed us to be our best. And when we start to understand that, we move on to my next story is believing in oneself. One businessman was in debt and couldn't figure out a way to get out of it. Creditors was pressing him. We understand that, right? Suppliers were demanding for a payment. He was sitting on the bench in the park with his head hung down. Could save the company from bankruptcy. Suddenly, an old man appeared in front of him. I see that something is bothering you, son, he said. After listening to the businessman, the old man said, I think I can help you. Hallelujah. I got a ram in the bush, right? He asked the businessman, what was his name? He wrote him a check and said, take this money. We will meet here exactly 1 year, and you will be able to return it to me at that time. You know that's God, because ain't nobody going to write you a stranger, unknown check, an unknown person like that. So you know that had to be God working in the midst, right? After that, he turned around and disappeared just as suddenly as he appeared. The businessman saw the check in his hand. It was an amount of $500,000 signed by John Rockefeller, one of the richest people in the world at that time. Hallelujah. I could end all my problems in this time, he thought. But instead, the businessman decided to put the check in his safe. And only one thought that existed gave him strength to find a solution to save his business. With the return of his optimism, he concluded profitable deals. During a couple of months, he got out of debt and started earning money again. Exactly 1 year later, he returned back to the park with the same check. At the time that him and the old man agreed, the old man appeared. And at that moment, the businessman wanted to return the check and share his story of success. And a nurse rushed up and grabbed the old man. "Oh, I'm so glad I called him," she exclaimed. "I hope he wasn't bothering you. He always run away from the nursing home and tells everyone he's John Rockefeller." The businessman was Noopy Moose. During the whole year, he was spending and building a business, buying and selling, convinced that he had $500,000 in the bank, in the safe. And suddenly understood that it was not the money, real or imaginary, that turned his life up. It was his confidence and belief that gave him strength to achieve everything that he had now. You see, in life we will experience moments that will cause us to question who we are and why we're here. There will be times when we will wonder, do we have value, purpose, gifts, talents that can be used to add quality of life and for us and those around us? Questions will basically present two choices. We can choose death that will cause us to bring no value to the table, or we can choose life and begin to see ourselves as valuable masterpiece that God designed for his purpose. We can either blossom and fulfill the plan that God has for our lives, or we can either let the thorns or the cares of the world choke out our potential. See, the word tells us in Deuteronomy 30:19, "I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that have set before you life and death, blessings and curse. Therefore choose life that both thou and thy seed may live." Let's begin to see and live the life God intended for you and me to have, and that life is the abundant life in Christ. Hallelujah. So it moves us right into our show. See the best God sees in us. We are looking in the mirror and seeing, are we looking in the mirror and seeing God's best? Are we seeing what the world calls a mess? This question may have been asked 1,000 times, presented 1,000 times, answered 1,000 times. But for 1,000 times, people still don't see God's best in themselves. I know if we were talking to people, they would put up the illusion, play the role, hide behind what their soul, mind, will, emotion is really dealing with. However, when the curtain goes down and back in the dressing room of life, like a clown with a smile to the world, their frown shows clearly in the mirror when their makeup comes off. This is a realization that we have more people. We want to accept feeling less than their best, feeling useless, feeling lifeless, feeling hopeless, feeling valueless, and truly not seeing what God calls his best. However, if you know what I just said, feelings. Feelings are a powerful part of our emotional makeup, which informs us that something is good or something is not right, or that we are out of sync with our spirit, the Holy Spirit, and God. Yet the world teaches us through Satan's design that a great deal of our life should be wrapped around our feelings. And I always like to say that feelings are just an indicator, but they're too fickle to stabilize and base your life on. But they have a purpose. For we know that the world simply promotes and base people to believe that they should operate more out of their feelings. For there is a consistent effort to regulate how we feel and what we are going to feel. And for the most part, a great deal of us buy into the illusion that is centered around the life product, or if you will, the cares of the world, especially as it relates to relationships, success, money, fame, status, and position. And if we follow what we hear, remember, faith comes by hearing, and what we see, we begin to believe and operate according to the process, for which we begin to think like the old Tony the Tiger commercial ad of Frosty Flakes would say, they're great. We believe that illusion. But let me take you somewhere. Yet if these people, places, and things are supposed to make you feel so great, why is it that in the National Institute of Mental Health estimate that 62 million adults experience one major episode, for which the most common in the common range is between the ages of 18 to 25, which is 10.9% of the United States population? Depression. And next, individuals are suffering from anxiety disorder, which has become the most common mental illness in the United States, affecting 40 million adults in the United States from the ages of 18 and older. Check this out. 18.1%. And then we get more specific. Phobias were at its highest from the aging range of 18 to 34, while panic attacks in the ages of 35 to 49 in the age population, and even the disorder is highly treatable. The disorder is highly treatable, yet 36.9% will seek treatment. That means that 61% of the population ain't even seeking treatment. So they're suffering with depression and anxiety. And I'm going to take you to another level. Suicide was the 10th leading cause of death overall in the United States, claiming the lives of 48,000 people, and is the second leading cause of death among individuals from the ages of 10 to 34, and the fourth among ages of 35 to 54. And there was 2.5 times more suicides than it was homicide. Both to say that the world is helping us to see our best, right? If people were feeling their best and seeing their best as God saw them, will we be experiencing these levels of depression, anxiety, and the ultimate suicide? What I'm presenting here, that we as a people are looking into the mirror and seeing ourselves from a narrow lens of the world and not from the panoramic, ultrasonic view that God sees in us. For you see, God not only views our outside presentation, but he sees our inside potential manifestation. We as a people are looking into the distorted mirror that makes us appear unattractive, non-appealing, without confidence, and surely not connected to God. This is so bad that many are even blaming God for them not seeing and being what their Heavenly Father intended them to be. I often wonder, why do we blame the one who is the creator based on the behavior, attitude, and results of the creation? Why is it that we so quick to trust man's word but doubt God's word on what we are and what he intended us to be? Why? I tell you, I don't believe in God. Even Christians are pulling away. I was told that that the churches are starting to close down. The ministries are suffering because they're building. And God is so innovative and so give us creativity to such as this to still communicate, but people pulling out. They're not seeing the best that God sees. However, let me put a few things into perspective through God's word, how we may have gotten to this point and why we listen to the world's perspective on who we are within the mirror of our lives. Listening to the world's perspective. Starts early. For we must first understand what this why we can't always see the best in God. And sometimes it's not the answer, but more the question that is asked to get to the right answer you need. Let's look into God's word about this point. Let's start with Genesis 3:1, and it says, indeed, has God said, you shall not eat from the tree of the garden? In the Garden of Eden, Satan having a conversation, check this out. From the time God placed man in this earth, Satan had been determined to deceive man about God's nature and his word to us. In the Garden, Satan began his plan by talking to Eve, playwright. You see, Satan was God's command. For if you notice that he used the word not. He skipped over the first part of God's statement and focused on the restrictions, the limitations, and the limits. He didn't want Eve to be thinking about God's goodness or whether it's his virtue, purity, and kindness and compassion and love and graciousness that he had given to them. He wanted God to appear harsh and restrictive. So why do people get angry and turn away from God? They think he's too hard. He's too strict. He's not being fair. We get this gimme attitude. Gimme. I remember gimme didn't get drowned. We getting drowned. You see, if we take a moment to stop and reflect, Satan either presents in our mind or in minds of others that which appears to be good, but leaves off some key factors of what God's best is. Causes us not to think as clear about God's word, and we must remember God is the way, the truth, and the life. You see, my friends, what God actually was saying, from any tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of knowledge of God, good and evil, you shall not eat. For in the days that you eat from it, you will surely die. Genesis 2:16-17. All the other fruits was good for the picking, and Adam could eat freely from the other trees. Of all the trees in the garden, and there were surely many, he was only restricted from one. You know, God gives us a lot. And especially when I'm here in America, as I always say, when I'm out in the summertime, people got their garages up, I see more and plenty. We are basically hoarders. You know, they throw people on the show, and they say, this is a show called The Hoarders. But if we look at our own selves, we got good and plenty. And way more of abundance that don't even get used. I listen to people talk about clothes they got tags still on. When I was in other countries, people would have loved to have that one outfit, and they would be wearing it a year later when I leave. So we have a lot, but it's never enough. Like the leech, we never get filled. We want more and more. But see, the first thing God told Adam was what he could do. God provided his best and seeing the best in us. He told Adam what he could do. Name all these creatures. Name everything on the world. I give you full authority. But we don't see what God sees in us. Because Satan is good at bringing us full circle away from God. So much of us, as I said, that in Genesis 1:31, God saw all that he made, and it was good. You see, God sees the best in us. But Satan always proposition a question about what God's word is telling him. Let's look at another situation in the Bible where Satan proposed a question to Jesus himself. You know, Satan is bold. He is bold. Cocky. Jesus is tested in the wilderness. Then Jesus went into the wilderness. He tempted. Then after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, question one, if you are the Son of God, testing who he is. It's like looking in that mirror. Do you see what God sees? Let me see if you see that. Test Jesus. And he says, stones to become bread. And Jesus said, my favorite line. It is written, this book that we carry around, that we put the same yesterday, today, forevermore, we can go back to what was written and say it today. But we got to get there. So Jesus answered, said, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. You know, God sent his word and healed him and redeemed us from our destruction. He sent his word, which was Jesus, and he sent his word, and Jesus passed it on to his disciples, and they wrote it down, and they sent it. They prepared us to be able to have it so we can send it on to us. It is written. So, then the devil took him to the city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. Did I just talk about suicide? Did I just talk about it? Oh, see, so suicide has been around a long time, or at least somebody trying to get you there. Remember, he works in the mind. I think I said that. If you are the Son of God, he asked the same question, questioning who he is. Throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against the stone. The thing that appears good, oh, man, I'm like Superman. I can, woo, I can fly. Yeah, but if you hit that stone in this fleshly body, gravity's not going to work in your favor. And the you will give quicker than the ground will. But Jesus, as it said, it was written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. See, he understood who he was from the inside out. There was a song by Curtis Mayfield that said, the making of you. See, he that song talks about the inner workings of that individual. See, he said, that song said, add a little sugar, honey, supple, a great big expression of happiness. Boy, you couldn't miss with a dozen roses. You couldn't miss. Because such would astound you. The joy of children laughing around you. These are the makings of you. God makes it so that even the children would love it. He would love, they would love it. So let's go back again. So he said again, the devil took him to took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. Check it out. He said, all this I will give you. And he said, if you would bow and down and worship me. If you would bow down and worship me. Now, you know, the average human being would probably jump on that like 40 going north. Because they'd be like, oh, man, I'm going to get the kingdom. I'm going to be loaded. I'm going to be this. I'm going to be that. We see that every day. But Jesus said to him, knowing who he was, the best that was in him, he could bring it out. He dealt from the inside out. Hallelujah. But he come back and he say, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship your God and serve him only. Now check what Satan did. Now Satan realized that he wasn't getting nowhere. He said, then the devil left, and here's coming God again with his goodness, his mercy, his grace, love, his provision, and the angels came and attended him. Hallelujah. Ministering spirits. Hallelujah. We got to see the best that God sees in us and all that he does for us to be able to, if you will, enhance that best, to move it from ordinary to extraordinary. We can see that Satan presented two direct questions by questioning who Jesus was by saying, if you are the Son of God, presented. Because I'm no scholar, not a pastor, but I'm just a man trying to get God's word out as simple as possible so we can begin to prepare for the battle. I always remember what Albert Einstein said. If you can't explain it to a six-year-old, you don't understand it yourself. And it's always been my mission, and when I was in the military, to be able to express what I need to express in simplest form, realistic form, and from my experience, that it get it down to the least common denominator that a child could get it. Because that's when you know that if they can get it from a simpler form, and there's an acronym, but I'm not going to say it. But anyway, there's an acronym about simplicity, and it's basically called KISS. But if you can get it down to the simplest form where people can do it right, they can make it right. Then the last question was in brick, if you will, because now he was going to test Jesus' loyalty to God. Was Jesus going to do like Satan did when he was the high end, the most beautiful end, and let pride get in the way? And if you don't remember, I say again, the devil took him to the highest mountain and showed him all the kingdom of the world and its splendor. And all this I'll give you. This was a presentation so he could be the ruler, the king, and he could be the ruler of the kingdom of the world and all of its splendor. So you see, the more his false promises and illusions that he do in that he did in that time frame, he still do today. Give you an example: money, power, fortune, fame, any wants and desires of the world, going with surgery, using growth hormone, anything that makes you feel that we are our best. But like all the Satan lies, it comes with a price. It comes in the form of death. And I tell people, it don't always mean a physical death, because Adam and Eve didn't die right away. But death, sure enough. You see, Satan always presents the question. Let's look at one more story where God and Satan are asking the question about a servant. In Job 1:6-12, here's where he's going to test Job's character. One day the heavenly being came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. The Lord said to Satan, "Where have you come from?" Question one from God. Satan asked the Lord, from going to and fro on the earth, walking up and down it. Question two. The Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one like him on earth, a blameless and upright man who fears God and turns away from evil." Oh, I'm striving so hard to get there. Oh, what a thing to be said about your character. Blameless and upright, who fears God and turn away from evil. Then Satan answered the Lord, "Does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not put a fence around him and his house and all that he has on every side?" Question three. "You have blessed the work of his hand as possession, have increased the land. But stretch out your hand now and touch all that he has, and he will curse you to your face." The Lord said to Satan, "Very well. All that he has is in your power." A negotiation. A trust that God had in Job. Wouldn't that be amazing to have God trust you like that? That you will be put to the test in a negotiation with the person that only wants to kill, steal, and destroy. But God trusted Job so much, and Job himself must have done so much from the inside out, because he was rich and he was well known and what have you, that even all that he had, the splendors of the world, he had more confidence in God and what God was about than what he had. So I think that, you know, I don't know, but I would go to say that that was some of his reward. But God, even with his reward, he did not let his pride get in the way. He didn't let his pride get in the way. That's why I believe God could say these things about Job. You see, God presented a few questions to Satan, and Satan, too, being bold, presented his questions. He wanted to determine if Job's obedience and pride would be an issue. Would Job still be obedient, or would he be pride-mindful? Choose life or death. So I mentioned earlier, in order to put into perspective why we don't see the best God sees in us, is because Satan is busy attempting to blind us of all that God sees as the best that he offers to us, including our ability to see God from the standpoint that he always provides for us, he always gives to us, he's always there for us, and he's always working from the inside out. Remember, Jesus said, "I'm going to leave you not comfortless. I'm going to leave you basically without. I'm going to give you the same spirit that raised me from the dead will now dwell in us." You imagine that. So here it is. God continues to work from the inside out. However, consequently causing us to think, believe, and accept Satan's deceptions that something is wrong with us, no matter what God is providing. We can never be what God intended for us to be, therefore not being our best, and by accepting the mess of the thorns that choke us out of the word of God. Basically, what I'm saying here is that Satan continues to create the illusion of his lies, to create things that look good, but it's not great. Things that look like it's going to be promising to be a lie. Things that look like when we look in the mirror, we look one way and it's not God's way. You see, Ephesians, as I talked about earlier, I said we have to understand where it's come from. In Ephesians 6:12, it says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual witnesses in high places." And as Pastor Prophet Teresa says, we are in a battle, and we must be armed to take on Satan just like Jesus did. And we must understand that in 2 Corinthians 10:4-5, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down the stronghold, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring it to captivity to the obedience of Christ." We notice that Jesus and Job brought things to the obedience of God. See, they focus on being obedient. And if I recall correctly, obedience is better than sacrifice. To say this is the beginning of change for us, to see the best that God sees in us. See, the word tells us in Ephesians 4:4 that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by trickery of man and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. See, as we understand the foundation on why we're here, see, nobody is a product of now. They are a product of the experiences and what those experiences brought to them. People look in the mirror and see less of themselves as way God would see because of the fact that in the process of their development and their going through life, challenges come up. They're being tested like Job. We all have had our Job story. Maybe not to the extent, and I always like to the stories when they take it to the extreme because we can scale it back. We can scale it back. And we all have had our challenges. Like I said, I remember losing my daughter. How could this happen? I remember getting hit by a car and not being able to see and basically biting my tongue off. Well, you can see I can talk. They sold it back. But tough things come. I remember going to war and watching my first soldier get killed. But you see, life is going to bring those Job stories. But it's important for us to understand that greater is he that is in us than is in the world. God said that the spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead, this same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, now dwells in us. So now we can go forward. And when Paul was talking to Timothy, he told him, stir up your gifts. For God did not give us the spirit of fear, but of power and of sound mind. When we begin, as I quoted the scripture earlier, in relation to renewing our mind, we're being transformed. This is another reason why I want people to start off now talking about the prayer of salvation, because I want you to be in the family and reap the benefits I talked about. But not benefits so you can hoard it, so you can build your treasures here on earth, but to build your treasures up for heaven. Because Jesus is what the place for us. As I like to say, that golden opportunity. As a man say, see me in glory with my new robe on. Stop by the crystal river to make my weak bones strong. And drink from a fountain that shall never run dry. And God is going to wipe every tear from my eye. You got to make it. You got to make it. As a man said, I made up in my mind I'm going to make it. But none should perish. Hallelujah. You see, God wants us to move forward to be all that he intended us to be. So Philippians 1:6 says, be confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So it's never too late. As my uncle used to say, who's transitioned back to God, he would say, if you wait, there's always another opportunity for you to be able to get it right. To get it right. And that right is not defined by man, because if you let it be defined by man, we're going to be in trouble. Because sometimes we're not even right with ourselves. I was telling somebody the other day, I said, you know, when you think about relationships, married couples, I'll use them for example, you think about relationships and sometimes they don't see eye to eye, right? Well, at the end of the day, sometimes when you look in that same mirror, you don't see eye to eye. You're mad at yourself. So how could you not get mad with someone else or frustrated or irritated or disappointed? Because we're dealing with the flesh, but if we recognize where these irritable, unreasonable feelings come from, roaming to and fro, trying to kill, steal, and destroy, we can put it back in perspective because we loop it back around and we operate from the love of God. Well, we become more patient. We become kind. We're not so self-seeking. We're not so pride-minded. We're keeping no record of wrong. No record of wrong. Old people pull out darts and like they had a bar somewhere, throwing on a dartboard at each other. Keep a record wrong, but at the same time say, I love you. We speak out of both sides of the mouth. The Indians, you say, you speak with four tongues. Inconsistency. So we have to be reasonable with each other. But when we begin to understand that what love always does, it always protects. You want to protect the ones you love. And we should love everybody. Because they love thy neighbors, thyself. We want to create hope for everybody, not put somebody down. We want to establish trust as a foundation that they can count on you. And we live to preserve that love so it will never fail. Oh, love is key. So as we move forward, next week we're going to look at the tools and the resources that God provides for us to give us solutions so we can see that our best selves from now on as God sees us. So moving right into a soldier's perspective, too often we center our lives on a worldview, thinking and operating, living in a way that is not, if you will, producing the best that God sees in us. And for the most part, we saw that there are some reasons for this and how the first man and woman struggled with this, and even Jesus was tested by this. So what do you think we got coming? Do we believe that because we got saved and we're born again and spirit-filled, that we would not experience challenges and Satan would exempt us from his lies and deception and questions that would put us in a position to ask the question, who are we? Do we have something to offer the world? Do we have value? But you see, I want you to leave with this week, and I'll bring more next week on this subject from Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's masterpiece. I want you to understand God's masterpiece. See, a masterpiece means that it has value. It has value. And see, it tells us that he has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. I know the plan I have for your life. Plans for you to prosper, not the way the world prospers. I always like to clarify that. That I would give you hope and a future that harm wouldn't come your way, not in the way as the world presents harm. We would be challenged. Because you remember when he proposed to Satan what he can do. Oh, the visual harm was catastrophic. But he could not take what was most important. He couldn't take his life. And that life is inside out, not outside in. Because everything that exists will be left behind as a part of this world. This is not our home. We are not citizens of this world. So all that will be left behind. But you see, that masterpiece that God began will be completed. It will be done. So therefore, until we meet again, when we look in the mirror of life, remember that we are God's masterpiece, that we are so valuable, that he came and gave his life for us, not just to give us a standard life, but a more abundant life in Christ. Walk in your true self and see the best God sees in you. And again, I say to you from Romans 10:9, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou can be saved. Therefore, say with me, Father, I confess that Jesus is Lord. I make him Lord of my life right now, not next week, not tomorrow. As that song would say, tomorrow very well might be too late. I believe that, God, you raised Jesus from the dead. I renounce my past life with Satan. And let me stop here. When you renounce your past life, that is a saying that you are putting it behind you. But believe me, in this moment, going forward, it's going to show its head again. The old man is going to show up because the old man is a part of the flesh. He's going to show up, and you're not, if you will, raptured up yet. So you're going to still deal. All the people of the Old Testament dealt. All the people in the New Testament dealt. And they did not have pretty endings. Peter hung upside down. Paul's head was decapitated. You're still going to deal with challenges in this body. But that renewed spirit, if you will, and with the Holy Spirit, you can move forward and be victorious. So again, it's so important. So I want you to be able to give thanks to God for forgiving us of your sins and believe that he accepts you, Jesus, and you accept him as Jesus, your personal Lord and Savior. So now that you are a new creature, old things passed away, and now you become a new creation in Christ. Amen. So again, I'd like to thank you for this opportunity to be able to share with you the knowledge and wisdom of God's word that he imparted upon me. But again, you have to go out and study to show thyself approved, to rightly divide the word of truth, so you'll be a workman that is not ashamed, that can be complete as well. And this completion, as Paul would say, we work towards the mark of perfection. We work towards that spiritual maturity. Again, don't forget that there are so many great dynamic brothers and sisters who hold titles of pastors, prophets, teachers, and they ministers of the gospel. Again, we are living to declare the work of God. And you can get them through Kingdom Builder Development Institute. You also can email us if you have a question at kingdombuilderplaza@gmail.com. You can contact the home office at 313-583-9739. And don't forget to sow into the ministry at www.giveify.com, which is GIVELIFY.com. Yes, God is blessing because we are getting the word. And he says that, as I said earlier, this is life unto us. He that finds God's word finds light, and it is healing. It is medicine to your body. Inside out. Remember, the beauty of you starts from the inside out, the making of you. God bless. We'll see you next week. And remember, pray for me, I pray for you, and let's watch and see the great things that God will do. Have a wonderful week.
I'd like to take a little time out to thank God for the many blessings he's given me. When I look back over my life and I see where he brought me from, I can truly say that I've been blessed. Let me tell you, woke up this morning, got out of my bed, I looked around, here's what I said: thank you, Lord, for the blood you shed. You put a roof up over my head. Thank you, Lord, for another day. All these blessings you sent my way. I could have been dead in some lonesome grave, but you told, oh death, you told it to get back and behave.
I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. I can count on God, he won't let me down. He always do just what he said. Pain and suffering, he brought me through. On wide open, he always welcomed you. I've been blessed in so many ways. I just want to lift my hand and give God all the praise. Ooh, another blessing. Ooh, another blessing. Ooh, another blessing. Ooh, another blessing.
I got my legs and I can walk.
Praise God, praise God. Good evening. Good evening, good evening. This is Elder QT Docs coming to you.